How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the whole wide world. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here on a Tuesday. Raw was last night. It was the go-home show for the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. We got all the matches for Money in the Bank. All the angles are done. We can talk about that on the program here today, as well as a weird night on Twitter. What is going on with Twitter? One thing after another. We had CM Punk threatening to wreck Hulk Hogan because he said something mean about a hockey team or something. I don't even know. But he buried Hulk Hogan. We had Team 3D very upset that, the Vintner, and anyway, they used the 3D. Totally forgot everybody's name here live on the air. What the heck is their name? Luke Harper and his buddy Eric Rowan. There we go. It's been a long day. Luke Harper. They use a 3D. They're calling it the end. The Dudleys got mad. The Dudleys yelled at them. They responded back anytime, anywhere. So there was that one. What else did we have on Twitter? We had Steve Austin talking about the Brock Lesnar proposed match at WrestleMania 32, telling fans not to get their hopes up, claiming he didn't know what Paul Heyman was going to ask. And as a result, he just went into promo mode because it was the right thing to do. But he doesn't want people thinking there's going to be a match. They're both going their separate ways. Do you believe that? That's what Steve Austin said on his podcast. We could talk about the kickoff of Global Force Wrestling, which takes place this weekend. And later on in the program, former ECW star Axel Rotten is going to be on the show today. He is doing a fundraiser to try to offset a lot of medical costs, which we can talk about today here on the program. So much stuff to get into. We'll kick it off after the break with Mike Sempervivi back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk about Raw and a lot of other news as well. Mike, I don't know if you heard the opening segment when I was just at a complete loss for the names of, I've already forgotten them again, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. I sit there trying to remember the names, and all, I swear to God, what was in my brain was Bray Wyatt and Brody Hoofer. Remember Brody Hoofer?
I do remember Brody Hoofer, yes.
Oh, my God, driving me crazy. Don't turn 40, everybody.
Tharouf Marius's arch rival and enemy, but yes, Tharouf turned into the one who's not Luke Harper.
That's right. It's God. Luke Harper. And Eric Rowan.
The Vintner.
Yes, I remember the Vintner. That's not a problem. It's the other two that drive me nuts.
He plays guitar, you know.
I'm just going to call them Bray Wyatt and Brody Hoofer. Then I really won't forget who they are. But anyway, they used a 3D last night, and it's hilarious because they use it once, and nobody knew it was coming. So they're like, whoa. And then they set it up again, and when they set it up the second time, everybody is chanting for the 3D. And then they cut to the announcers, and the announcers go, "That they call that the way." And I was like, really? You really can't acknowledge that it's called a 3D?
The way.
It doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like, some people get way too, they just get way too attached to these kinds of things. It really doesn't matter. I'm sure the Dudleys would disagree with me, but there's a million moves. They all get different names, but...
Well, in a way, I mean, it's like, you know, but there's no Hurricane Rana and Frankensteiner, so Scott Steiner can get upset about something. That you know, the only thing that move is called is a 3D when it's done, you know, with two people doing it. It's not some... It's not double stunner. It's not, you know, anything like that. It's the 3D, and now that explains, I was very confused. I didn't get a chance to see Raw last night, so I had to see the Hulu version of it, and the Rowan and Harper Los Matadores match was edited off, one of the few things that was edited off the Hulu version of the show. So I understand what all of this hullabaloo is about here with the Dudleys and the Peter Frampton named finishing move team.
Yeah, the thing It's just like there's not one fan. Maybe there's a couple really little kids, but there's nobody that's going to be watching Raw and they don't know that's the 3D. So
and call it the 3D and then very simply rename the move down the line when they keep doing it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think the issue is if you've been on Twitter, Bully Ray tweeted, "Dear WWE, if you wanted the Dudley Death Drop hit the way it should be, you should have had the balls to call us." And then Devon, of course, said, "Oh, my brother, testify." And Luke Harper actually responded back to them and basically challenged them anytime, anywhere, etc. I think the
guy
idea
can't change his shirt yet. He can use social media.
Sure, yeah. So I think the idea obviously is Team 3D with these tweets is angling for a job or at least a shot. And I don't think that WWE has any intention of bringing them in. And so I think that's why they're not. I think they figure if they call it the 3D, fans are going to be expecting Team 3D to eventually come in, which is not the plan. But the whole thing is just wacky.
I don't blame Team 3D for a minute. You know, not I'm not saying that they're offended and that's, you know, but as far as, you know, angling for a job or putting that up on Twitter and putting the needles to WWE, I don't blame them at all. In fact, they probably should. And you know what else? It doesn't have to be the longest run in the world, but WWE probably should call them.
Well, SummerSlam is in New York City. And so you could do Team 3D against Brody Hoofer and Bray Wyatt if you really wanted to on that particular show. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. To be fair to the Dudleys, to Team 3D, it was not the best executed 3D I've ever seen. Maybe Bully should be happy they called it The Way.
Again, The Way. Peter Frampton. That's the only thing I could think of when it comes to The Way. Have there been any movies or anything else that's more updated in popular culture than a 40-year-old song?
I kept thinking of Safeway, because we have one right by my house that's brand new, and my wife and I call it The Way.
Yeah, I used to have a Safeway near me, too, but isn't that more of a West Coast thing?
It may
be. You need something more national or international.
It may be. It's my favorite. So Raw was last night and kind of a boring show overall. I didn't think it was a terrible show. The potential new number one contender is Joey Mercury. As he pinned Seth Rollins in that match. There was so much funny stuff on that show last night that I don't think anyone thinks about except maybe me. Like, Seth Rollins goes out there and he wants to prove that he can win a match by himself. Now, Seth Rollins is a heel, by the way. From watching TV the last 3 weeks, there's part of me that thinks they got to be turning him babyface, because all he wants to do now is prove that he's a fighting champion and he doesn't need any help. And so he has a confrontation with his former security after he tells him to hit the bricks because he doesn't need help. They get an argument. He challenges both of them to a fight. So he goes out there and it's Seth Rollins against two men, plus Kane, plus Dean Ambrose. All of these other men interfere and cause Seth to be pinned. And then the announcers say, "Well, just proved he can't win on his own." It's like, what? He was facing two men with two other people on the outside interfering. And yes, he lost because the odds, he was working 4-on-1. And then they come out and say, "Oh, Seth failed." I was like, this is so wacky. I still think that Dean is going to beat him for the belt, and then Roman Reigns is going to cash in on Dean, and Roman Reigns is going to turn heel, and you're going to have Seth left as the odd man out, and there's going to be about a month or so of him still playing babyface, and the crowd will get more and more behind him, and finally he'll flip out and beat up Triple H, and they'll lead to that Triple H versus Seth Rollins match at SummerSlam that I've been told was going to happen for months, even though it didn't sound like it made any sense. But now, maybe it does.
Yeah, and I guess you can do that, and you can also work that into the Brock Lesnar thing. If you think that Brock Lesnar is going to face Seth Rollins may have a chance to face Brock Lesnar completely away from the authority, you know, after he loses his title to Dean Ambrose, and that would be a way where you align Roman Reigns with the authority, which I think you would have to do in that scenario. And then if you wanted to do Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns down the line, you have a great reason to do it. And you can have Roman Reigns go over Brock Lesnar, whether heel or face, that way, because he's going to be aligned with the authority and he's truly put in a position of being the guy. My thing with that whole scenario is I don't necessarily, I know he does all the cool moves, but right now I can't see why Seth Rollins, I mean, I can't see just people turning around and cheering him right away, right off the bat or anything like that. I mean, I think he would need some comeuppance for a while first before he is completely cheered. And he's a far better heel anyway. I think there's a, again, they seem to be dead set on this Triple H Rollins thing, which means one of them's got to be a baby face. And it would make more sense if Rollins is, but both Rollins and Reigns on the heel side would not be that bad of an idea.
So, Kevin Nash forgot to mention this in the Twitter wars last night. This deal with Kevin Owens. For some reason, Kevin Nash decided to tweet out, in 2015, mind you, Kevin Owens, two questions. Guys want to be him? Ladies want to be with him? Twitter world vote. Now, for those of you that are young, let me explain this to you.
You didn't ask that as questions so much.
Well, he didn't either. Well, so, that's... in the old days, this was not certainly everybody, but some people in this business believed, in order to be the top star, if you're a guy, you've got to be the sort of guy that all the guys watching TV want to be. And you've also got to be the type of guy that all of the women watching want to be with. And if you don't have those two qualities, you can't be the top guy. Now, if you've actually watched wrestling, you'll realize that every make and model has been a top guy in the years that there has been a business. So this is a very narrow-minded way to look at it. It's particularly narrow-minded in 2015. Anyway, they got an argument and Kevin Nash blocked Kevin Owens. The ultimate in 2015 in terms of disrespect. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by Axel Rotten, who is working on a fundraiser to try to raise $25,000 for two surgeries that hopefully will get him out of a wheelchair. He has been confined to a wheelchair, and he's been in a rehab facility since October 30th, when he just collapsed. His back gave out, and he's been in the facility ever since, and he's trying to raise money for two surgeries, which he hopes will allow him to walk again, as well as making his home wheelchair accessible for when he does leave the hospital. So we're going to be talking to him coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes. And we'll be doing a Figure Four Daily After Show with him, talking about his career as well. So you can all look forward to that if you are a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. On the Steve Austin podcast, he talked about the podcast he did with Paul Heyman on the WWE Network. And he said, listen, everybody, I didn't know Paul was going to ask that question. And I went into Stone Cold Steve Austin mode. And I don't want to fool you fans. I don't want you expecting something that may not happen. I'm not trying to work an angle here, and essentially just try to downplay expectations. What do you think of this, Mike?
Well, maybe he should. Maybe they just did go into that, but he's got no intention on doing it, or maybe there's other plans for either one of those guys, or maybe they just want to kind of nip it in the bud, be so, you know, just people stop trying to fantasy book them together, and it gives them the opportunity for both of them to do other things. There's no guarantee that, you know, we talked about this. I would bring this up a couple years ago. You know, if Austin did come back and kind of looking down the line, because they've been talking about running Texas Stadium for so long, do you want to do Austin Undertaker? Do you want to do Austin Rock, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, Brock Lesnar? And one of the things against Brock Lesnar has been, you know, as safe as Brock Lesnar can be with someone, Brock Lesnar is a bull in a china shop. Unfortunately, at this point in his wrestling career, and maybe his life too, although the guy's in incredible shape for, you know, anybody, but as far as wrestling shape goes, at least when it comes to that neck and everything, Steve Austin's a little bit closer to a china shop. So do you want to put those two guys in the ring together when you can put Steve Austin in there with, you know, a broomstick, literally, and people will love it because it's WrestleMania and it's Texas Stadium and it's Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back. So why take that risk? And Brock Lesnar, who's going to be in a semi full time schedule, why not have him, if he's going to be facing somebody at WrestleMania, why not be a Roman Reigns or somebody who's on the roster who, you know, would need that match a little bit more, in my opinion, I would think, especially when you're scheduling The Undertaker to come back, when you have The Rock facing Triple H seems to be penciled in right now, and you're going to have a bunch of other stuff on there. You know, would it be a better use of Brock Lesnar to have him in there with somebody else? So maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just, you know, who knows? When it comes to Steve Austin, he probably got such an overwhelming response of people saying, oh my God, you're coming back, or are you coming back, and saying it over and over, that he may just had to have said something to kind of dampen everything for a while.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, if Steve Austin is going to wrestle again, he's wrestling Brock Lesnar, and it's going to be at WrestleMania, and it's going to be in Dallas at the AT&T Stadium, which actually apparently is not even in Dallas, but that's the major market. But reality is, Brock Lesnar is coming back anytime now, very, very soon. He's going to be involved in the match of the century coming up July 4th with Kofi Kingston. I've been anticipating this match ever since I first heard it was a possibility. And they don't want Brock Lesnar coming back and everyone chanting Steve Austin during his matches. They've obviously got something planned for SummerSlam. They've got a lot of things that are going to be taking place with Brock. And they had to plant the seeds. It was a perfect time to plant the seeds for WrestleMania. But you can't outright say, well, you know, we're going to do it, because that's the only match anyone's going to care about between now and WrestleMania, especially involving Brock. And they got things that they want to do with the guy. So you plant the seeds, then you downplay it. They can probably plant more seeds at, I don't know, Slammy Awards is when they usually plant seeds for WrestleMania, except for this year. Royal Rumble. I mean, there's a lot of places you can start to build it up, but not to... No disrespect to Steve Austin, but I'm skeptical that there is nothing to the talk of Brock versus Steve Austin at WrestleMania. But who knows?
You got to leave those doors open, too, because...
Austin should respect that, by the way, as a straight shooter. I'm shooting straight right here.
Hey, two workers just looked at each other in the eyes and went into promo mode so they could show the kids what's going on. Maybe there's nothing to this whatsoever, but hey, maybe they did plant the seeds, but... If it starts getting around to Mania season and you haven't done Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and you've got Roman Reigns hot enough, and in your scenario of what could happen with Roman Reigns, he's a heel, and Brock Lesnar from this point forward, at least for the foreseeable future, will be a babyface. I mean, he is Brock Lesnar. When it gets to be next year's WrestleMania, if you can do Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and you can have Roman Reigns, who is going to be the next future of your company, go over in front of 100,000 people, and he goes over Brock Lesnar, the guy that beat The Undertaker 2 years ago. And yes, this scenario had to wait a year, but you go ahead and do that, and people respond to Reigns in the right way. That could be huge. And again, as great as Austin and Brock Lesnar would be, I would think it would be best for business to go in that direction if that's, you know, even semi-hot. And you have, again, Steve Austin could walk in there against Booker T because it's tech. I mean, I would not use him, but I mean, somebody, you can go in there with anybody and just stand there and they could look at each other and people will lose their minds and they can be another match on that card. Again, it's got nothing to do with Brock Lesnar. I mean, you know, you want to do something, put Cesaro and Tyson Kidd in there with Paul Heyman, even though I would rather see Kidd and Cesaro as a team. Can you imagine Cesaro and Austin, just because who could take better care of Steve Austin and move him to every portion of that ring where he needed to be moved than Antonio Cesaro? I mean, literally, who could do better?
I love Cesaro. It's got to be Brock.
I know, but here's the thing. Austin can... Cesaro could move, and again, I know this isn't going to happen, but just thinking about the safety of Steve Austin, Cesaro can move Austin in any position that he wanted and be strong enough to take care of him and put him down very lightly, and also get nailed in the gut and laid out in the middle of the ring with the stunner, and then Austin can crack beers for the next 25 minutes and pour it all over everybody.
No, Steve Austin, here's the two things. Steve Austin doesn't want to come back and do a safe match and just stand there like Hulk Hogan and pose for 2 hours. If he comes back, he wants to steal the show. And if you do Cesaro and Steve Austin, then yes, Cesaro has to lift him up and put him down, lift him up and put him down. It doesn't matter if it's safe or not. There's still got to be a lot of lifting and blah, blah, blah. If you do Brock and Austin in a Texas death match, you could probably work a great match. And Austin wouldn't have to take one real back bump. You just brawl all over Texas Stadium, which is gigantic. There's all sorts of places you can go. There's all sorts of things you can do. There's gimmicks. I don't want to call it a smoke and mirrors match because that indicates laziness and chicanery.
No, but it's like Triple H. But that's the way to do it. Year. Yeah. And hey, you know, here's, just to put damage on my own argument. Because of all the things you're going to have on the show, and again, Triple H and The Rock has been hinted at so much, and that looks to be the direction they're going, and you're going to have a possible Austin-Lesnar match, and you could have Sting, Undertaker, and all the stuff you have on there. I guess if you do Roman Reigns against Randy Orton or Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose in the main event, it may not necessarily be the main event anyway, and you can go ahead and have that match or have any match you want because you have all these other things and you've already got the people in the building.
I hate to stomp on another argument, but if Steve Austin returns against Brock Lesnar, that match is the last match on the show. It's very rare, Mike.
Well,
I know
I'm
you're
saying,
well
but
aware.
That's the whole thing. No matter what, I mean, you could have the Vintner against Roman Reigns, you know, as far as the modern, you know, portion
the
of
title
your main
match,
event
yes.
at WrestleMania. Yes, your title match at WrestleMania and have everything else is going to take precedence.
Now, I want to say one thing before we have to go to a break here. So, Ryan Bader, we've been talking about Bader and this ties into pro wrestling, everybody, even though it's an MMA story. Ryan Bader and Daniel Cormier and Gustafson and this whole argument. I was reading today, Bader was on the MMA hour yesterday with Ariel Helwani, and he was talking about his big press conference clash with Daniel Cormier, which unfortunately I can't play on this show because it's rife with profanity, but oh my God, it's awesome. And apparently there are people who accused him of fabricating this, that it was pro wrestling, that it was designed in advance. I don't know how you could watch that and not see that it was as real as it could possibly get. There is this deal online where if two guys cut promos on each other, or if a Ben Rothwell comes out and does a goofy promo, everybody calls it pro wrestling. Like it's there's a negative connotation to it. Like it's bad to go out there and cut promos. What it is building interest in a fight. And the reason that a lot of people call it pro wrestling is simply because in pro wrestling, they largely do it the best. Maybe not so much today, but certainly, you know, a decade ago they did in years before that. And if you get the right guy, a Paul Heyman or something, I mean, he's going to do it better than anybody in the world. But that was as real as can be. If you want to say it's straight out of pro wrestling, great. That's a compliment to pro wrestling. That is not a negative. It shouldn't be a negative in MMA when someone goes out there and tries to talk their way into a fight, talk their way into building interest. People call it pro wrestling because people have been doing it in pro wrestling forever, and they, for the most part, do it very well. Like Ryback, I might add, last night. I thought the big guy was great. We're going to be back in just a moment with Axel Rotten, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by Axel Rotten. We've got a lot to talk about here today, including a fundraiser, which you can find at youcaring.com. Search Brian Knighton or Axel Rotten Spinal Injuries. You can check it out. Axel, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brian. Well, considering my situation, I'm doing all right. You know, I just got done doing 2 hours of physical therapy, and I'm making progress. And so as far as the taking out the obvious what problems. I'm doing all right today. Today's been a good day.
So you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. There was a day, October 30th, 2014, when your back just gave out and you were on the floor. And since that time, you have been hospitalized. You're in a wheelchair and the doctors have told you that you've got to get these surgeries. And if you get the surgeries, you may be able to walk again. But if not, you may be in a wheelchair for life. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. You're very, very accurate on everything you said. The situation as it stands is basically I've been doing physical therapy because initially I was misdiagnosed. They thought I had a stroke, so they were treating me for a stroke, and I kept telling the doctors, hey, man, this is a back thing. I knew years ago I had bad vertebrae in my back, but, you know, once you get that professional wrestling in your blood, you just don't want to quit, and I didn't quit. So I knew this may possibly happen in the future, and it has happened now, and that's the situation that I'm in. I'm basically right now rehabbing and doing therapy with the hopes that I can get stronger when I go into surgery, so when I come out, I will be that much stronger to recover, to make my recovery a lot easier. But, you know, I've been dealing with this pain for years, you know, and it's not new. And I knew in 2005, I was told, you know, you need this surgery now. And as flippant as I was, I told the doctor, well, look, I can still walk, so I'm not going to go under the knife with the possibility I may end up in a wheelchair. And now here I sit in that very wheelchair.
Well, Axel, what exactly is it when it comes to your back that needs to be fixed that caused all these problems?
Well, you know, well, what caused it all was 25 years of being thrown around like a fool. But but the exact problem is my L3, L4, and L5 are pushing on the nerve roots, which are impinging the roots, and they're not really sending signals down to my legs. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have gone from being, the day this happened, and like from the 1st of November, laying in a bed, not being able to move, to do anything. Now I'm able to stand up. I can use a walker and walk when assisted by my physical therapist. So I have made great strides at getting stronger. But the injury itself, it will not go away. You know, by its very name, degenerative disc disease means it's only going to get worse. So the surgery is probably, without a doubt, an inevitability.
So when you stand, I mean, obviously this is not paralysis because you can stand and move around with a walker. I mean, is the issue largely that it's just intense pain? Or is there something with the nerves where it's difficult for you to actually send the message to your legs to walk? What exactly is it?
That is exactly it. The left leg has a lot more strength in it, so I'm able to do a lot more. But my right leg is not getting the signal. It's the bone is pressing on the nerve root, which is really a bad thing because it's stopping, you know, the connection from the brain to that saying, hey, move forward. I have a lot of weakness in it. Now, mind you, as I said, when I use a walker, I can kind of kick my right leg forward and use my upper body strength to make propel myself. My left leg works just fine. The right is much, much weaker.
I have never, thank God, had a disc issue. I've had back pain, but never a disc issue. And people that have disc issues, I mean, they're standing there, they reach down to tie their shoe, and all of a sudden they're on the ground.
Exactly. That's exactly how it happens. It could be as simple, and it happened to me before. See, this has happened to me previously, and I was able to get up from it. I mean, it happened, you know, one time just simply stepping out of the shower or twisting to do exactly like you said, just to tie my tennis shoe, and I literally fell to the floor and couldn't get up, you know. But again, the way I look at it is, you know, I abused my body horrendously for 25 years or more, and like, you know, I knew I had these problems, and every now and then in a particular match, like I can remember a specific match. Balls Mahoney and I were doing a dark match for WWE, and we were wrestling Trevor Murdoch and Garrison Cade, and Cade picked me up and body slammed me like right in the corner, and obviously there's no give or anything in the corner, and my back went out right there, and we were at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly, and of course, you know, being in ECW town, we were over huge, and I'm laying there paralyzed going, oh my God, you know, what am I? But it, luckily it only lasted a second and I was able to get back up. But you know, when it happens, you know, in the ring, it's scary as heck, but you know, happening anytime, but this time was the real deal. It hasn't gotten better. And, you know, I've accepted the fact that I have to deal with it, you know, either end up in a wheelchair for the rest of my life or do this work.
Now, why did the doctor originally believe that you had suffered a stroke? Had you had a stroke in the past, or was it just, I mean, it seems
no,
like...
Brian, no, what it is I also, I could be the world's unluckiest wrestler. I'm laughing about it, but I also have Bell's palsy, like Jim, you know, Jim Ross, where the side of your face, you know, has that sort of droop, and
sure.
Mine isn't really noticeable, but they picked up on that, and then they saw the weakness in my leg, and they, because initially, see, with nerve damage, it can come and go. Like, my left leg was working just fine at the time, but it was all on my right side, so they thought that I suffered a stroke. And moving on, they realized after I kept imploring them to do an MRI of my back, they realized it was indeed the spinals that the spine L3, L4, L5 that is damaged and pressing on the roots of the nerve.
So did you know prior to them claiming that they thought you had a stroke? Did you know you had Bell's palsy? Were you telling them this is Bell's palsy? This is not a stroke, and they weren't listening to you?
Absolutely. I was like, you know, the facial paralysis, which is very minor now, but of course they picked up on that. They went, I think, for the quite simply the lazy diagnosis and didn't want to do, you know, I know my body better than anyone else, and I knew from what this felt like that this was a nerve or back issue. This was not a stroke, because they did do the MRI of my brain, and I was like, oh, well, there's no sign of a stroke. And I said, I already told you that, but they just wouldn't listen, and finally did the back MRI and found out, yes, it was indeed a back issue.
So the fundraiser that is being put together now, James Ryder, Cult of Kayfabe, has helped to put this together. And
Stop. Let me stop you.
Okay.
Didn't help. He was the catalyst for this, because let me make this perfectly clear, Brian. I've been in this situation since October. James has been a cheerleader with wanting to start this fundraiser since day one, and I was against it. I said, I do not want to go public. I don't want to ask for help. I don't want people to think, oh, Axel's begging for money, blah, because I've had in the past substance abuse issues, and I'm happy to say I'm clean and sober. But, you know, when you had that problem, people are always going to be skeptical of you. So James Ryder from the Cult of Kayfabe, he is the guy that did this. And finally, after, you know, close to five months, I finally said, yes, go ahead and put it online. Go ahead and do it. And it was completely him. I had nothing to do with it other than giving him the go-ahead to do it. And I can't believe how many people have reached out since then.
Yeah, you got 54 supporters thus far. And $4,193 raised. You're looking for $25,000, and there's.
Well, I mean, James set that number because I'm going to. In reality, if this doesn't work, I'm going to need ramps built at my home. I'm going to need my bathroom widened out. I'm going to need all kinds of equipment that, you know, my insurance doesn't cover, and not just on a financial. But let me just say this on a personal level. People have reached out to me, not just with donations, but I'm talking like Chris Jericho has been a huge, huge supporter. Paul Stanley from Kiss sent me a text message saying, hey, man, get back on your feet, get better. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins has, you know, reached out and said, hey, we're here, we're pulling for you, man. So it really makes me feel great to know that, you know, there are people out there that actually are, you know, more magnanimous and more giving than the cynical people who hide behind a keyboard and like to take shots at you. So it's really a humbling experience to know that there are genuine people out there that really actually care about people as people. I wish there were more people in the world that were like that.
For you, how great was the Paul Stanley from Kiss reaching out? Because I know how big of a fan you are of Kiss.
Dude, look, I'm not going to lie to you, Brian. I actually got a tear in my eye. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's been a Kiss fan since he was 6 years old, seen them hundreds of times, you know, met them a few times, and for, you know, a guy who I idolized as a child to send me a personal text that say, hey, get better, you know, I'm behind you. And he even ended it with your fan, Paul Stanley. I'm just like, wow, you know, that was incredible. And any Kiss fan, trust me, that's a really big deal. So, I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
So, Jericho, I know you were on his podcast. He's tweeted out everybody to support this. And I mean, how well have you known him in the past? I mean, I know you were in obviously ECW forever, and I'm sure you guys had to have your paths crossed. I mean, were you good friends, or what was it that got him so behind this?
Well, here's the thing with Chris. Chris and I first met in ECW when he came there, and we bonded over our mutual, you know, love for music. And I actually took him to a Kiss concert during the 1996 Kiss reunion tour because he hadn't seen it yet. And being our age, he and I thought, you know, we would never get the chance to see the four original members, Ace, Gene, Peter, and Paul, on stage together. And we were talking about it, and he was so excited. And I said, well, I've already seen it like four or five times. They're playing Richmond tomorrow, and we did the ECW Arena. He goes, dude, I'm going to change my flight. You know, I said, okay, we're going to go. So I took him to the Kiss concert, and our paths crossed, you know, in 2005, you know, when we did the run-ins on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and then in 2006 when they were trying to reboot the ECW thing, and Balls and I did a month of dark matches on the road with him. But Chris is one of those guys that we are friends, and I believe true friends, because even though we hadn't talked in close to 9 years, when we picked up the phone, it was as if we had just spoke yesterday. And that's,
well, Axel,
you know,
yeah, stand by one second. We got to head to a break, but we'll be back in just a moment with a little bit more. Axel Rotten here, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I have just retweeted Chris Jericho's tweet about Axel Rotten, which gives you the youcaring.com URL to go. It's essentially youcaring.com/Axel Rotten. Easy to find. Just go to youcaring and type in Axel Rotten and you'll find it. But he is going to be joining us here in a few moments for a special members-only podcast. All of you that are subscribers to WrestlingObserver.com, you'll get that podcast here today, plus all of the other shows. We did a Wrestling Observer Radio last night with Dave Meltzer talking Raw and all the news, and a Brian and Vinny show tonight, where we're going to talk Raw and Nitro. Nitro, 19 years ago this week, the June 9th edition, 1996, I believe it would be, of Nitro, we will review tonight. I believe this is the debut of Kevin Nash on Nitro, so we'll talk about that tonight. And Craig has also come up with a contest that he says I will be very upset about, I can only imagine, but that's coming up tonight on the program, so make sure you check that out as a subscriber. You get every show we've ever done, 7,000 shows available in the archives, including every edition of Wrestling Observer Live, commercial-free, within about 5 minutes of the show going off the air. If you're not a subscriber, the replay is tonight at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on Sports Byline USA. And don't forget, we are here every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, links up at WrestlingObserver.com, everywhere else. It's impossible to not hear this show. And of course, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. So check us out tomorrow again, everybody, and subscribers. We'll be back in a few minutes here with a special podcast with Axel Rotten talking his career in ECW and so much more. So check it out. Thanks to everybody at Byline, Mike as always, all of you the listeners. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.